know, me and Brother Larry were praying in the prayer time, the men's prayer time, 5:45. We were talking about the lost, and it really impressed on our hearts. If you're going to get saved, it's going to have to be in this life. There's no salvation after the grave. And also impressed upon my heart was, if you're going to do anything for Christ, you're going to have to do it while you're living. There is no working for rewards after that. And so go ahead and be taking your Bibles, and let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Again, we're going to be about seven series of messages here on Genesis 1:1 through 2:3. And we're looking at the doctrine of creation. And last week was kind of a introductory message, if you will. Tonight we're going to talk about, again, about this thought. Before creation, what was God doing before he created? In the beginning, God. What was God doing before the beginning? And we know that the beginning there is talking about the beginning of creation. What was happening in heaven? And so we're going to look at that tonight. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. What was God doing? Well, there's three things that we can draw from Scripture. Number one, God eternally existed in his glory. Don't ask me how long he's existed. It's been eternity. He always was. The Bible said that God is eternal. He has neither beginning nor end. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is totally sufficient and totally self-existent. He doesn't need anything outside of himself to exist. He doesn't need anything. He didn't need the universe, the earth, us, but he chose to create us, to have a relationship with us, and to redeem a people. You know the doctrine that the Bible speaks about, God is immutable. That means he never changes. Malachi 4, God never changes. In fact, that's an interesting verse there in Malachi, and I'm going to have a little article about it coming up in the bulletin. And he's always the same. He never changes. In his essence and in his intrinsic nature, God never changes. He's the same today in his nature as he was in the beginning. That's an amazing thought, isn't it? God doesn't change. He's immutable. Now, on the other hand, again, don't look for immutable in the Bible. It's not there. But on the other hand, we are mutable. We change from day to day, second to second, you know. We meet people. I mean, one day they're this way, one day they're that way, you know. One day they're up, one day they're down, right? And we do change, but God does not change. But he didn't need anything to exist. He's self-existent. He didn't need to create anything to keep existing, okay? Psalms 90, verse 2 says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from the everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17 says, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. There's only one God. All other so-called gods, little g, are idols, demon spirits, right? Anything that is not the God of this book is an idol. And there's many that worship that. So what was a God doing before creation? He eternally existed. Secondly, the Trinity existed in communion. God always was, and the Trinity always was together. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There is one true God who existed in three persons. Now, we're not modalists like T.D. Jakes, who believed that there one God who became the Father, he was the Father, and when he became the Son, there was no longer any Father, and when he became the Spirit, there was no longer any Father or Son. One God, he says he just changed into one of the three Godheads. But that's heresy. You're not saved if you believe that, right? That's perverting the person and work of God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. One God manifested in three forms. Warren Wiersbe says this, this does not mean that one God manifested himself in three different forms. You see, you had the Father, the Son, the Spirit, all God, all co-equal, right? Or that there are three gods. It means that one God existed in three persons who are equal in their attributes and yet distinct in different offices and ministries. There was always the Father, there was always the Son, and there was always the Holy Spirit. the Holy Trinity. Well, it's not mentioned in the Bible. Well, don't get hung up on that. The eternal Godhead is, and that's what we're talking about, okay? Acts chapter 2 is one of those great verses that you see all three persons of the Trinity mentioned. There are several in the Bible, okay? And all three were involved in creation. All three were involved in our salvation. All three are involved in keeping us, okay? And all three are going to take us to heaven, the consummation of our salvation. I want to read this to you, Acts chapter 2, verse 32, Peter's sermon. This Jesus have God raised up. So how many persons of the Godhead do we see right there so far? Somebody tell me. This Jesus God have God raised up. How many? Okay, two. And then it says, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted. Now, how many persons of the Godhead do we see there? Two. And having received the Father, the promise of the Holy Spirit. We're introduced to the Holy Spirit there. So far in this text, we've seen three, right? He is have shed forth this, which we now see and hear. Now, go back to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. The Hebrew word for God there is Elohim. And there's a reason why God chose to use that name for himself. It means that God speaks of God's almighty power. So he gives us his name there, Elohim, because why? He's fixing to show that power in creation in Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. And by the way, that word in the Hebrew, Elohim, God, that word is plural, okay? It's a plural noun, and it can be translated as gods. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All three were involved in creation, okay? And so this will later, in our study as we go further, will refute several serious heresies that we'll look at later. Now, the Trinity was involved in creation. And for you that are here that have relatives that are Seventh-day Adventists or Mormons, don't believe in the Trinity, don't believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit existed in the New Testament, and don't even believe that they existed in the Old Testament, I want to show you some let us verses from Genesis. And he has to be talking about the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, go to 1:26, Genesis 1:26, if you will. And God said, let us make man in our image. Now, you don't have to be a brain surgeon to figure that out. We're not made in the image of angels, right? Let us. Who is us? It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Go to chapter 3, verse 22. We see another one. These are ways you can prove to the cults that the Trinity is mentioned in the Old Testament. There are many, but I'm just going to share a few with you. Look in chapter 3, verse 22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us. Right? Well, we can't be talking about angels there because we didn't become angels. So he's talking about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he says, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand to take also the tree of life and eat, and live forever. So we see the Godhead mentioned there. Go over to chapter 11, verse 7, if you will, of Genesis. We're looking at the mention of the Holy Trinity in the book of Genesis so far. Look in chapter 11, in verse 7. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language. There's a Tower of Babel, isn't it? That they may not understand one another's speech. Let us go down. Talking about the Godhead, okay? I want to show you a couple more. Go to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, and one of the major prophets there near the end of the book. And I'm going slowly because I don't want to go past it. Well, while we're there, let's go to Psalms 2:7. Go to Psalms 2:7, okay? Let's go to Psalms 2:7, first of all. And give me some time to get my greasy pages together here. Psalms 2:7. I would declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. Of course, you know right there you had the Father and the Son, right there in the Old Testament, right? And now let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Isaiah 6, verse 8. We're talking about the eternal Godhead. Isaiah 6, verse 8. I've shared with these with you over the years, and sharing them again today. 6, 8, look at that. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for what? Us. Then said I, here I am, send me. It's not the angels. Angels don't have the gospel message. It's not other believers. It's who will go for us. No, it's who will go for us, the eternal Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now go back to Genesis 1:1. A question that's often asked is, when were angels created? Some suggest they were created on the sixth day with man. And then some maybe say at the beginning. Well, frankly, the Bible is not very clear, but the answer is inferred in two passages of Scripture. Well, let us know when the angels were created. And they are created beings. Satan was a created being. He's not more powerful than God. The first one is found in Job chapter 34, verse 4. Where wast thou, Job, when I laid the foundations of the earth? They declare, if thou hast understanding, who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it. By the way, the context of this, Job is questioning God, and Job says, basically, where were you when I created? Verse 6, whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars, underline that, sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. That's another name for angels. So they were there to see creation, right? And then also in Psalms 104, verse 2, who coverest thyself with light as with a garment? Who stretcheth out of the heavens like a curtain? Who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters? Who maketh the clouds his chariot? Who walketh upon the wings of the wind? Who maketh his angel spirits, his ministers, a flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. So it would seem from Job and Psalms 104 that angels were created before creation, but could very well have been on day one, because they witnessed creation, and they rejoiced at creation, at God's work, and they praised God for his glory of his creation. So, what was God doing before creation? Well, he always was. He was eternally existent in his glory. Number two, the Trinity existed in communion. The Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the beginning, were all in communion with one another. And then thirdly, the Trinity planned the redemption. What was going on in heaven before creation? Even before anything was ever created, God planned the plan of redemption. Okay? The Trinity took counsel in eternity past and planned salvation. You thought you just read about it in the Bible. No, it was planned way before that, before God ever created the heavens and the universe on day one. So the Bible says that salvation was not an afterthought, but a predetermined plan of God. God didn't just create and said, oops, Adam made a mistake. Now we got to go back to the drawing board. You know, we got to redeem him some kind. No, it was a plan in eternity past between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, I know that's deep, but that's what the Bible teaches, okay? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5 tells us that. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Now, when were you chosen in him? Somebody tell me. Before the foundation of the world. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That's why he chose us, right? That we would be holy. Will be in the image of his Son, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to his good pleasure of his will. That's why he done it. He just wanted to do it, according to his will. Revelation 13:8 says, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Now this isn't during the tribulation period. Whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That's a rich verse there. Those who are in the Lamb's Book of Life, tribulation saints who come to the Lord, their name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. They will not take the mark of the beast, right? But notice what he says here. The Book of Life of the Lamb, what? Slain from the foundation of the world. God planned redemption in eternity past. Y'all see that? It's very simple, right? Everybody see that? OK. Okay, well, shake your head anyway. Revelation 17:8, again in the tribulation, the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names are not written in the book of life. See, those will wonder what's going on here, except for those who have not yet been martyred, but their names are in the book of life. And we got to understand that God has an elect in the church age, and God also has an elect in the tribulation period, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. So the point is, God planned redemption before he ever created. We were chosen by the Father and given to the Son. The death of Christ on the cross and our belief in him secured this transaction. God created the world that he might share his love with man, who he made in his image. And we're going to talk more about that later on as we go. What does it mean to be made in the image of God? So you have passages that tell us that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit were all involved in creation, or in salvation. And the greatest verse for that, and I'm not going to read it, but it's Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. The plan of redemption included the Holy Trinity. We were chosen by the Father in verses 3 through 6. We were purchased by the Son on the cross in verses 7 through 12. And then the summons and the sealing by the Holy Spirit in verses 13 through 14. Do you see that? Now, all the time you thought maybe, well, I just heard the gospel, I repented and walked an aisle. But it began way before that, folks. You were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Christ died on the cross for you. The Holy Spirit drew you, as me and Larry were talking about in prayer time this morning. Nobody can come to Christ unless they're convicted and drawn by the Holy Spirit. Right, Brother Larry? You cannot just join the church like you're joining the Elks Club or the Kiwanis Club. It is a supernatural work that is done in our hearts, right? And so we are drawn. And then he seals us until the day of redemption. We ought to be happy about that tonight. I know it's Mother's Day. I know you ate too much. I know I did. But we ought to be happy about that tonight, right? Amen. We have been. Brother Ben is, right? He's happy about it. All these are great truths about our salvation. And all through the Bible, you see it in Peter. You see it in 1 Thessalonians. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit were all involved in our salvation. Now, I want to read something I read many years ago, and I thought it was true. Someone said, try to explain these things and you might lose your mind. But try to explain them away and you will lose your soul. I didn't understand all about this. I still don't understand all about it. But when I got saved and he put my Holy Spirit, his Holy Spirit in me, I believe what the Bible said, right? And I may not can explain it. Who can explain it? You know, who can explain the eternal Godhead? Who can explain before the foundation of the world? But we know it to be true, right? Now, do y'all, I tried to put it in a way where y'all could see it. God always was. The Holy Trinity always was together in communion. And then the Holy Trinity planned our salvation before the foundation of the world, right? Now, that is amazing. That's deep, right? That's high cotton, right? But who can understand these things? We just believe them, right? And this is what God said. When you think about it, the old poor sinner go visit them in their home, and they're broken and they're repentant and they confess Christ. Folks, that all began back in eternity past. Amen? And I want to tell you, that's a great truth. I went to see a young man down the road here at 801 North Broad Street. I was given his name to follow up with. And he's already saved. He's a member of Tabernacle Baptist Church. He's run on some hard luck medically. And I went and had prayer with him, encouraged him. And it was good to know that he was already a believer. And he's waiting on Social Security, and he's waiting on this and that. And he's got congestive heart failure. He had a big hernia operation, and he's staying with his folks till he gets better. But when we're given those things and those opportunities, we need to follow up with them. We need to go see them, right? And actually get out and visit. This is amazing. What was God doing? Next time somebody asked you at school or at play, at work, what was God doing before creation? Well, you can tell them now, okay, what he was doing. Now, next week we're going to go a little deeper. We may not still leave verse 1 and 2 yet. But we're going to get more into creation, okay, before we begin to get into the days of creation, the 6 days of creation, and God rested on the seventh, okay, on the seventh day. All right, let's bow our heads and we'll be dismissed. Father, I thank you for these that have come back this way again to show their love to you, their love to the church, and I pray that you protect them as they go home. And may we contemplate, may you continue to preach these messages in our heart when we leave here. And I know the tendency is to, we walk out of the church, we go eat, and that's it, you know. But I pray that you'll keep continuing to implant these messages and these truths in the hearts of our people that might fully appreciate what you have done for us. And so we ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. All right, let you go tonight. See, those that didn't come back tonight missed a blessing because we got out early.